Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're out of the studio for Read on the Road today and broadcasting live from historic Tredegar Ironworks, where tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, the ribbon will be cut for the opening of the new American Civil War Museum. And this has been a long time coming. And I'm joined this morning by Wade Rawls, who is the president of the foundation here at the American Civil War Museum. Thanks for opening up early for us today. It's a beautiful view by the James River, and the sun's coming up. It's nice to be here.
I take my hat off to you and your staff. It is early.
Yeah, you felt it. You all had a big gala event here last night. How'd that go?
We had 300 people, a wonderful event to show for our donors and major members. What we have done down here at Tredegar. Mm-hmm. Had videos from all sorts of people, Katie Couric, Ken Burns, all sorts of people talking about what we had done. Yeah. Faith Prince, the great Tony Award-winning actress from Broadway, sang some of her favorite songs.
Very nice. And these people really ponied up. This is a $25 million building, and thanks to you, I got to go through it yesterday. It really is. There's some buildings I walk in, especially the new ones, and I go, I get what you're trying to do, but it didn't hit. This one, I think, really respects the infrastructure that's here from the Civil War that remains in place while sheltering the relics that you have on display. And it's just a very beautiful and impressive way to showcase the story that you're trying to tell here. So congratulations to you. But that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and particularly when you think that there's not a penny from the city or the state or the federal government.
Oh, this is all private.
So this is all private money.
How much did you all raise total?
$48 million is our total capital campaign to expand our mission of bringing the whole story of the Civil War to the American public.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that you have mentioned to me since we talked last year about the expansion here, is that there's a new effort to tell the complete story, not just the Southern side of it, not just the Confederate side of it. Is that difficult to do? People are so mad these days.
No, it's needed. As Katie Couric said in her video last night, what we need in America is greater education. Mm-hmm. And we think we're a big component of that. And we think you cannot do education unless you tell the multiple perspectives. And some of the perspectives were changing during the war. People would begin thinking one thing and end thinking something different. And we try to make the museum experience one of the people of the Civil War and the decisions they had to make. And unlike us, they did not know what was going to happen next month or next year. And they still had to make those decisions.
And live their lives here in Richmond and hope they could survive.
Try their best to live their lives with shortages and inflation. And
As I walked through the museum yesterday, I'm a little bit of a cynic. So I wondered whether you all would banish Robert E. Lee, would banish Stonewall Jackson, would banish some of the people who were profiled very prominently in the Museum of the Confederacy that until recently existed next to the White House of the Confederacy up near VCU, MCV Medical Center. And that's not the case. You still have some of the prized relics on display. What were the negotiations or the discussions about that? Did anybody say, you know, these people are too polarizing, we should knock them down a notch and not, I don't want to say idolize them, but exclude them from the laurels that perhaps have been offered in previous decades?
I think polarization is the opposite of education. As we saw it, these were some of the key people in the war. So right off the bat, we're talking about the decisions that people had to make. And one of the key decisions was Robert E. Lee. Which side was he going to go with?
So he really wrestled with it.
He really wrestled with it. And right next to him, we've got a picture of two brothers from Warrington. One ended up fighting for Virginia on the southern side. The other had moved to Ohio, ended up fighting for Ohio on the northern side. So this split of people having to make these decisions. We've got a great cabinet that features all of our fabulous Stonewall Jackson collection. And if you read the fine print, you note that all of the artifacts were given to us in the 1890s by his widow and daughter. So that makes an impact. Right next to that is a beautiful sword given to Ulysses S. Grant by his staff for his victory at Vicksburg. Beautiful sword. So we're trying to feature the people and the things that they did.
And there's so many interesting items. You know, one of the questions I always ask when I go to a museum is, what's your Mona Lisa? What's the number one thing, if I've got 20 minutes to be here, that I absolutely must see?
You know, people always ask me, what's your favorite artifact? And you go, oh, gee, why? Where's your hot button? Because it might be something very small and very insignificant or very large, like the gigantic painting of the last meeting of Lee and Jackson, which is one of the, if not the most famous pieces of art that came out of the post-Civil War period.
Let me ask you a question about for those in Richmond, especially, you know, a lot of the people I work with, they didn't grow up here. They grew up in other parts of the country, so the Civil War is truly just a chapter in the history book that they read. They, you know, the family stories weren't passed down. And you've got white Virginians, black Virginians who have heard stories of the atrocities of the Civil War and why the war was fought, and they're sometimes at odds with each other. And I think a lot of the visitors to Richmond and new people to Richmond say, can you guys just stop talking about the Civil War? It'd be great if this was all just deleted. What's your reaction to that?
Do you know, I think visitors to Richmond do not ask that question. Some of the people who live in Richmond ask that question. We get more visitors from Virginia than any other state, about 20% of our visitors. But our number two state for visitors is California.
Is that right?
They want to know more. Number three state is New York State. Number four state is Florida. So there's not a southern skew, if you will, to our either our visitors or members. They think that they want to know more.
These aren't people who are saying the South will rise again and this is our foothold.
No. Some of our more interesting visitors and members are people who are immigrants to America. And they say, we want to know what it is to be an American. And given the fact that this era was the defining era of American history, we want to know more about that.
It's an important and fascinating story, and I have to congratulate you based on my walkthrough yesterday. It's a very well-done, beautiful display that tells a lot of stories that I hadn't heard before, and that's coming from a native Richmonder. Yeah. Wade Rawls, tell me, tomorrow at 9 is the grand opening?
Saturday at 9.
Yeah.
Is the grand opening. Ribbon cutting, open to the public all day. Today, we're open to our members and donors only, so okay, that they get the preview.
So don't come today, come tomorrow. And it's $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, $6 for kids, right?
It was.
Oh,
it's
tell
now
me.
$15
oh,
for adults.
Wait a minute. Well, you got to get a sticker on this sign out here.
But this is the, we're sitting in the room that used to be the entrance to our museum.
All right. Okay. Well, don't argue with him and say the guy on the radio gave you bad advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Wade Rawls, the president of the foundation here at the American Civil War Museum. Appreciate it. We'll continue to tell you more about this really unique location on the banks of the James River here in the city as we continue on Richmond's Morning News. Thank
Super, you. John. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, you know, we've never fully gotten away from the Civil War in Richmond. And for a lot of people, that is a stone in the bottom of their shoe. It really irritates them that, oh my gosh, why do we constantly have to talk and fight about the Civil War? Well, I'll tell you one reason. There's a lot of money in this. If we could just maybe depersonalize it a little bit and focus on hosting visitors, I think we could all do very well here. And a lady who knows a great deal about the economics of tourism and the tourism of American history, Civil War history, is Rita McClenney, who's the president and CEO of the Virginia Tourism Corporation, who's been around for a long time here and has watched our efforts grow and our receipts grow. Are you excited that this museum in its new incarnation is opening tomorrow.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. I'm glad you're here.
Those drum beats, that was the sound of money, I do believe.
Yeah. That's the attitude we got to have, don't you think?
So to answer your question, yes. The expansion of this museum to tell the entire story.
Yeah. It's no longer just the Museum of the Confederacy. This is the Civil War Museum, the North, the South, all of the relics, and the stories of some people who were neglected in our original telling of life in Virginia during the Civil War era.
It's an American story. So it's ordinary people who did extraordinary things. And within the body of this museum, it tells that story from so many perspectives. Collections have come from all over the world. People have donated and given because they want to be a part of educating individuals who want to learn about the American Civil War. Why, how, impact. And I believe that history is a continuum. We don't just want to look at history, we want to explore history.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've posted a few pictures on my Facebook page, The John Reed Show, of what it looks like in the new galleries here at the American Civil War Museum. It really is an impressive way to display these relics that are 150, in some cases, you know, almost 200 years old. On display in here. But, you know, you've been around tourism and the competition for tourism dollars for a long time. How do we stack up in Virginia and then, you know, dive down into Richmond? How does Richmond do? We got a lot of competition. We got Washington, D.C. that tries to suck all of these people away just 2 hours up the road.
Well, we, Virginia, we are known for history. When people come for a vacation experience, history ideally and usually is a part of that. But the vacation experience is so much broader for a family. Everyone within the body of the car or as they travel have something that they want to experience or touch. And when the family can come to agree on history, the parents want their children to be educated and know about their world and more about it. The kids do learn, and if you can learn through video and seeing real artifacts and touching and visualizing in a three-dimensional way, it has a significant impact. And then at the end of the day, you want to go for a lovely meal. You want to walk along, in this case, the beautiful James River. Extraordinary. And there is the arts. So it's just a full vacation experience, and we do compete. But we really compete with technology, we compete with video, we compete with the movies. You know, all of that is a part of taking the individual or the family time. But when people get away to relax, they want to spend time with people that they love, cherished ones.
Yeah. How much money are we talking about here when it comes
for the
to
Commonwealth
tourism?
Of Virginia, it's a $25 billion industry. The economic impact of what travelers spend in the Commonwealth.
So that's hotels, food, gasoline.
Yes. All the hospitality industry.
That's a significant chunk of change. And has that grown in the last decade?
It has grown. Mm-hmm. And we're about to know what the 2018 numbers represent. $25 billion is 2017. Mm-hmm. So about this time of the year, we get the impact for the previous year.
Who comes here?
All of our travelers, they come from all over the world, but principally they're coming from east of the Mississippi. They're coming from the north, which is highly populated, so that makes a lot of sense. Internationally, Canadians, UK, Germany, France, Japan, China are the top countries.
And did they come to Virginia as the destination, or are we a side trip? You know, my friends in the Middle East, when I lived in the Middle East, all wanted to visit New York, and they wanted to go to D.C., and then they wanted to go to Disney World.
Yes, yes. Know?
And I tried to convince them, oh, yes, you should come visit me in Richmond and see these things here.
We call ourselves, not, you know, to dismiss Virginia, but we're second tier, because all of those places that you named are on the first, you know,
that's
trip.
What gets them over here. Yeah.
And just like Americans, when we go, where do we go? London, Paris, Rome, you know, so it's the same, Sydney, Australia. Mm-hmm. So it's the same theory when they come over. But a trip to Virginia is combined most likely with a trip to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. because we have the other monuments. Yeah, maybe they have the national ones, but in Virginia, Civil War sites, we have over 800 sites. We have more sites than any other state in America.
And is that is the Civil War something that warrants interest overseas? Yeah, I do think we're so up on top of it, and we do have so many arguments and debates about the very complicated and sometimes horrible issues that occurred in our own society during that era, that we forget that other people don't have that same emotional investment, so they're willing to come and just kind of check it out. And,
right.
I mean, do you feel like, as you talk to people, as you travel around the world, that they're interested in this in a personal way?
Our conversation is about Virginia is the birthplace of America.
Mm.
So come and learn what that experiment was about and how Virginia influenced American politics, American development, you know, the birthplace of presidents. So all from revolution, from the first English settlement, but then predating that, of course, are Native Virginians. So we go from Native Virginians to the first settlers, the Revolutionary era, Civil War, civil rights, and right into, you know, what you can do again if you're paddling down the river and have a very contemporary experience. We say they come for the history, but they stay for the hospitality.
Yeah. Well, we should embrace this, I think, instead of pushing away from it. And one of the ways to do that is to come and check out this new museum, $25 million museum building that opens tomorrow here at the Tredegar Iron Works, the American Civil War Museum. And I know you will be talking to people around the United States and around the world to try to promote this. Rita McClenny, the president and CEO of the Virginia Tourism Corporation. I'm so glad to see you in person.
Good to see
thank
you, too,
you
John.
For making the journey to come be with us.
And thank you for being on location.
Oh, listen, I love it.
What
love
a view.
It is a great way to start the day. Rita,
it is.
Thanks so much. I want to talk about Read on the Road live from the spectacular view overlooking the James River at the Tredegar Iron Works, the American Civil War Museum, now less than 24 hours away from the big ribbon cutting. And Christy Coleman is the CEO of the American Civil War Museum. And she joins us now live this morning. I know you have got to be excited after all these years of promoting this event, trying to add to the collection, curate the collection, raise all this money. What is this, a $25 million building? How do you feel on the eve of the big ceremony?
Basically exhausted.
Yeah, last night you had the big gala with all the donors. How did that go well?
That went extremely well. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have been happier with it or with their response of being able to see it all. We are delighted to share with our members today. So today is a members only, and military vets and active duty are get in today for free if you are any of those categories. So come on down. That's from 10 to 4 today. And then tomorrow, Saturday, that's our public grand opening. And so we're very excited. We've got all kinds of activities and events planned for both days. So we hope to see as many people as possible.
Let's talk about first the architecture of this building. Eddie Slipik's got a really great article in style that I hope people will pick up and look. You know, he's the architectural critic around town, and I kind of hold my breath whenever I see he's written about something. Is he going to like this, or is he going to hate it? And he loves the design that you all have put together here.
It's really stunning in and of itself. And the building, one of the challenges with this site, we have this gorgeous 9-acre site, but it's, you know, it's very slopey, it's very hilly, and trying to find a space that we could build a facility that was going to meet all of our public needs, as well as, more important, perhaps, our collections need, was a real challenge in finding just the right spot. Plus the fact that we're right here on the riverfront, we had to deal with floodplain issues. So in this particular case, the design, this idea of this glass curtain surrounding the existing ruin wall of the original foundry that was built here at Tredegar in the 1840s was really quite an idea. And so, you know, I, frankly, there was a little skepticism. It's like, how in the world are we going to do that? How do we protect the building? I mean, you know, protect the structure after all this time? And they came up with just an extraordinary design. So about a third of the building is actually underground. So that's really cool. And it kept sort of all the sight lines and just blends in beautifully, we think.
It is a gorgeous building. And I'm kind of hypercritical of that type of thing, too. So when I showed up yesterday and saw it for the first time, I thought, wow, this is pretty impressive. It doesn't distract from the original building. And that's something, when you all announced that you were going to bring the collection from the old Museum of the Confederacy to Tredegar, I think there were a lot of old Richmond people who, well, they didn't like that idea because Richmonders don't like change in general. And they were worried that you were going to abandon the historic White House up there on the other side of town, which has kind of had MCV, VCU build up around it. How did you make this choice? And just remind people why you chose to do
this. Well, certainly. I mean, the building, the Museum of the Confederacy building, was built in the 70s, opened to the public in 1976. And, you know, so it was older. We know so much more about how better to care for collections. Collections were kind of all over the place there on several different floors. And so it just wasn't the optimum environment. And our priority from the very beginning of this enterprise was to find a way to better protect the collection. And so that meant we simply had to move it. And in order to protect the house, when we got to the point where we'll just sell the building, we made sure in the course of that sale that there was a protective easement around the house, around the White House. Both above us and on all sides of us, which is really important
smart.
Too. But here's the thing. I mean, we talk about the $25 million that we invested here at Tredegar, we invested quite a bit of money in the White House as well. And that work actually was going on probably a year after we announced and began the fundraising effort. So, you know, replacing the portico, we replaced and repaired, well, not replaced, but repaired every single window in that house. We had to do replaster work. We went back to the historical record so that the house was actually furnished as it was when the Davises were there. So our overall campaign is a $46 million endeavor. So those funds were used for several different things, from preservation to the collection. I mean, the collections move alone was $500,000 just to move it roughly 2 miles, because everything had to be packed very, very carefully and to get it over here.
I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to ask you to illuminate the new interpretation of the Civil War that is portrayed in this museum. This is a little different from the Museum of the Confederacy. You're actually telling a bunch of different stories that have not been shared with the audiences that have gone to those museums.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. This was the combination of two institutions. And so, you know, the reality here is that the telling of the history that we are doing is, in fact, telling it the way people lived it. And, you know, we often think that because we learn something new that we weren't taught or wasn't passed along to us generation after generation, that somehow it is a revision. This is not revising history. This is finally getting it right. Recognizing that there are a variety of players who were deliberately left out of the story or deemed not as important to the story, when in fact this was an American story across the board. And if we want to really understand the period and the voices and the people, this exhibit allows you to do that through those people. And so that's one of the things, a key difference. And then, of course, you know, the visual vernacular that this exhibit uses is also extraordinarily compelling. So we feel very good about that as well.
It's a beautiful display, and I kind of wondered where some of the major pieces from the old museum would wind up. And they're very creatively exhibited. I think people, especially people who are old-time Richmonders and new Richmonders, will show up and feel like they've really got an opportunity to experience this in a brand new way. Christy Coleman, the CEO of the American Civil War Center at historic Tredegar Iron Works here in Richmond.
American Civil War Museum.
Museum now.
Yes,
okay.
The museum. Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you all so much for having us on the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. And congratulations to you. I know you're excited to finally see the doors
Absolutely.
Open.
Everybody come on down. We're looking for you.
Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.